You're listening to C2Y Podcast. We bring you discussions on child and youth care that feature conversations with young people, parents, and professionals about the youth social service system. Introducing your host, Wolfgang Vachon.
Welcome to C2Y Podcast, discussions on child and youth care. I'm Wolfgang Vachon. Talking to professionals who work with young people is important to understand effective ways of working with young people. But to really understand, we have to listen to young people. What's been their experience? What's worked for them? What's not worked for them? The more we listen and learn from those we work with, the more effective we'll be. Connect to Youth, a program I've been involved with for 9 years, trains people working with children and youth. What makes the program successful is that service providers and service users deliver the training together, each bringing their expertise to enhance the capacity of those working with young people. One of the trainings we do is how to support LGBTQ identified young people inside the child welfare system. Today, I'm speaking with Julian, one of the former trainers of Connect Youth. Julian has agreed to share some of his experiences and thoughts about being young, gay, and in care. Welcome, Julian.
Oh, hi, Wolfgang. How are you doing today?
I'm great. Thank you. And thank you for agreeing to have this conversation with me.
Yeah, no problem.
Let's jump right into your story. Where would you like to start, Julian?
Usually I would like to start when I was younger, when I was really young. I always used to remember my mom saying to me that, you know, you can be who you are no matter what. You just be who you are and I'll love you no matter what. Like, I never really understood what that was until way later on, but I'll get to that later. So basically, it started when I was 12 years old. I started in middle school. I kind of felt that I had attraction to guys, but I didn't exactly know what it was yet. I remember one time when I was in gym class, they started talking about gay people, and some of the students really kind of had this negative reaction towards it. And I kind of was thinking, I was like, I don't know. Like, I just kind of had that hesitation, you know? And that was the first time I actually felt like maybe it was something wrong. Like, there was always gay people in my family. And within my family, I never really seen it as wrong or different or anything like that. Oh, after that, around that same time, I was having a lot of problems at home with my family, with my mom and my brother and sister. What happened was it was just chaos in so many different ways. A year later, I randomly went to school one day and I had a foster care worker before, but I didn't really know what it completely was so much until one day they came to my school and they said, okay, well, you know, you're going to be left. You're going to be taken out of your home and you're not going back there. I was so upset. I didn't know what to do, what to think or anything. So what they did is they took me from the school. Before they took me to the foster home, they actually took me back to my mom's house. That was really devastating. My mom was crying and I didn't know what to think, what to do, what to say. Like, I had so many different emotions. Like, well, I'm happy. She was upset. So I was like, oh, well, you know, I don't care. I want you to get upset. You know, this is what you did to me. But at the same time, I knew that I wasn't going to be staying at home. So they took me to this foster home and it was an older couple. It was kind of in a very, very far out way where I'd never been before, at the west end of Toronto. And I didn't know what to think or to feel or anything like that. I never knew how it was to have a foster mom and a dad in the family. Like, I never had a father in my life. Things were okay at first, but then after a week or two, I started feeling weirded out by the way that they were treating me. They would monitor my phone calls by listening in to what I'm talking about when I'm talking to my family or friends. They would, every time I would eat food, they would sit there and they would stare at me while I'm eating and really make me feel very uncomfortable. And even when I'm watching television, they would just sit there and kind of stare at me and look at me. I'd get upset. I'd say, what are you staring at? But they just said, oh, nothing, nothing. And the one thing that really, really bothered me was one time I was taking a shower and the foster mother, she was like, well, do you want to come into the foster? Do you want me to come in there and sit on the toilet and wait in there with you? And I was like, no way. There's no way that's going to happen. So after, like, I put up with it for a bit, but after that, I kind of started lashing out, lashing back at them, getting really angry, yelling at them and stuff like that. And I started talking to my worker, but my worker kept saying, my foster care, my primary care worker kept saying, well, oh, you know, you're just, you don't really know what's going on. You're just a kid. Just put up with it. It's going to be fine. It's going to be okay. And yeah, just give it a little bit and stuff. So I kind of just did it, just stayed there and had to, I felt really uncomfortable after staying there because they kind of knew about me talking to my worker. So yeah, it got worse. And one day I was at school and the worker came to school and said, well, your foster parents don't want you staying there anymore. So I asked what happened. And what they did is they went through my stuff and they read my journal. And they found out I was really angry so many times. I was like, you know, I wish they weren't here. I wish they would just die already and stuff like that. And they took it as a threat. So I went there and I took my stuff and they took me to another foster home the same day. What happened? They took me to the foster home, the second foster home. And it was these two guys that were there. They were really nice. They were a lot really older. They were a lot older. And they explained to me the rules of the house, just different about the other foster kids in the house and how things went. So I was really nervous. I was kind of happy at the same time because they got me back into my old school that I was in. And they seemed really nice and they were really caring. They actually took me out to the grocery store, told me, well, what kind of food do you like to eat? And did everything that to make me feel comfortable. So I was really happy there. They were really nice. And the whole time you kind of knew that they were together, that they were a gay couple, but they never mentioned it. They never said anything about it. They kind of like, there was questions from other foster kids, but nobody really, they never would admit it or talk about it or anything like that. So I started getting involved with one of my roommates, just experimenting and stuff like that. I knew that I liked guys and stuff, but I never really wanted to be in a relationship because I said, no, I can't do that. I can't be in a relationship with somebody. It's only just for fun and stuff like that. So he started getting kind of closer and making me like trying to pursue a kind of relationship with me. But I just completely denied it. And I just kept staying away. Even though he was my roommate, I kept staying away from the house and just kept leaving, you know, just trying to stay as far away as I possibly can. So I was there for a while. I was there another 6-7 months. And it became time for me to return back to my mother's house, which I was happy. I was sad to leave, but at the same time, I was happy because I could go back with my family. So I got there and everything was okay. But what happened was eventually, I guess the kind of, oh, Julian's home kind of wore off a little bit. And they started kind of going back to the same patterns that happened before I was in foster care. My mom getting really angry and lashing out and everything like that. So I tried to keep it cool for a bit, but it just became too much. At the same time, I started dating girls. I started like in high school and I kind of just had this double life going on where I was dating these girls, but at the same time I was with some guys and I just didn't want anything. I'm like, no, I just didn't want them to cross. I didn't want anybody to know about the other side of me and how I was feeling. So as it went on, I just kept feeling a lot of pressure for my own homophobia for myself, not wanting to be gay, and a lot of trouble at home with family problems, that it just completely exploded. I just started really extremely lashing out and I got involved with the police and with different social service systems and stuff like that. And it really just kind of just all went. It was a couple of years that were just really, really terrible. It's a lot of fighting, a lot of things happening. I don't know exactly what it was, but I guess just one day I just kind of came to the point where I can't put up with this bull anymore with anybody or with my family or anything like that. I need to worry about myself and just completely focus on myself. And around the same time, I started feeling differently about my sexuality. I started feeling that, you know what, this is who I am. I am gay. And I actually had that self-realization that, yes, I am gay, but I can't tell anybody about it right now. So I started to live happy. I said, you know what? I'm not going to have any more girlfriends. I'm just going to keep to myself and be who I am, but I'm not going to come out. So at the time, I heard about this school called Triangle. It was a gay school LGBT school, and it was just supposed to be a safe haven for people that were different. So I called them. I wouldn't call them for my cell phone. I didn't want any records or anything like that. So I went to a payphone and called them, and they told me to come in. So I went to the school. I got accepted and I started going there. Like, I kind of told my family I was going to a different school so they wouldn't know. But at the same time, I started working, started kind of just, you know, feeling better about myself, just keeping to myself, ignoring all the problems that were going on in my family. And at the same time, a little bit after that, I went online. I met this guy, and he was from Alberta, and we started talking on a regular basis, and we started falling for each other and fell in love. And we really, really cared about each other. And he decided to come down to Toronto to move in with me. So I didn't tell my family. I just told my family I was moving in with a roommate. So we moved in together, and my mom actually helped me move into the apartment. It was a one bedroom apartment. And I remember the day we got all our stuff in the van and we left and went to the place, and she looked around the apartment. She's like, "Oh, it's only one bedroom. What's going on with that?" And I said, "Well, you know, we're going to take turns sleeping on the bed and the couch or something like that." And from that moment on, I knew that she didn't believe me and that she knew right away, but she didn't say anything about it. So we were together, and we were just living life and going to school, going to work, and, you know, starting a life together. We started, like, I think it was about 7-8 months after he moved down, or no, I think it was more like a year. And he met my family, started hanging around with my family. And one time he left his cell phone at my cousin's house to charge. And what happened was, when not knowing that, like, I didn't even think about it, but her and my aunt went through it, and they didn't say anything. We came back, we got the phone and everything like that, and we didn't think anything of it. But a couple weeks later, my cousin came up to me and she's like, "Well, oh, I want to talk to you about something." And I'm like, "Okay, what?" And then she took out her phone. She showed me pictures of, like, me and my boyfriend together and stuff like that, just holding each other and stuff. And yeah, and she's like, "Oh, I know you're gay and you guys are together and stuff like that." And I was really upset, because that's actually the first time that I got confronted or talked about with anything like that. So I was upset and I was trying to talk to her about it. But she kind of just completely played it off, not really wanting to talk about it. Or she's like, "Oh, well, you know, it's no big deal, whatever, just get over it. It's nothing." So, you know, what she did after that, she started telling people about, she started telling people in my neighborhood about it. And some of my friends found out, and I got so much backlash from friends. So many people didn't want to talk to me anymore, calling me names, saying things. And it was just a really hard time. But, you know, my boyfriend was there for me. He was really there. He really kind of made me feel better. He's like, "Well, you know, even though it may not feel like it, it's a good thing. It's something that will make you stronger in the future and help you, you know, just truly be who you are." So eventually after that, it was a little bit after that, I decided to finally tell people. So I had a party and I told some of my close friends about it, about me being gay. And I started telling people slowly. And then it came to my mom. And I remember the day I went downstairs and I'm like, "Well, Mom, I really want to talk to you." I was talking kind of just about random stuff, but she knew something that I wanted to tell her. So I just told her, I said, "You know what, I'm gay and we're together and that's my boyfriend and stuff." And I started getting really upset. And my mom she came up to me and she gave me a hug and she said, "Well, you know what, I knew all along, but I always loved you no matter what. And I really care about you, and, you know, just be happy and be who you are." And that just made me feel really, really amazing. And a week after that, my brother found out. I think my mom told him, and he came up to me and he's like, "Well," because my brother was a person that I was really nervous to tell, because he used to always say, "Oh," with his friends, "Oh, that's so gay," and stuff like that. So I thought, "Oh no, I don't want to tell him." But then I guess my mom told him, he came up to me and he said, "Well, you know what, I love you no matter what, and you're my brother and stuff. And, you know, I realize that what I'm saying, and I realize that it's going to bug you and affect you. So I'm going to stop saying it." And yeah, he stopped saying it after that. So, you know, that's when I actually realized what she actually was saying the whole time about how I will always be there for you and I will always love you no matter what. And yeah. And since then, I've just kind of felt a lot better about myself. I've been with my boyfriend now, it's been 7 years now. And yeah, throughout the whole journey, we've just been together and exploring new things. And the past 5 years, I've actually explored being gay and started going and hanging out in the gay community and meeting a lot of gay friends. And yeah, and it's been amazing. You know, eventually, I'd say this past year, we moved to Alberta, where he's from. So right now I'm staying in Alberta in the countryside and, you know, exploring a different life. And yeah, so that's my story.
Thank you so much, Julian, for sharing your story.
No problem.
It's such a beautiful story and a story of, you know, strength and a story of hope. And, you know, you raise so many issues that young gay people face in their time. Yeah. And I'd like to explore some of those different moments in your story, if that's okay.
Sure. Yeah, that's no problem.
Let's start with parents. What would your mom seems loving and supportive around your being gay. There's other areas that obviously didn't work so well for her being a mother, but around your sexuality, she was always there and always caring and supportive and let you take the lead. What do you think is important for parents to know if they have a son or a daughter who they think might be gay?
I think that I think parents in general should always have the idea when they have kids, well, you know, my son or my daughter might be gay. They might be this way. They might be that. And they should definitely know about it and be supportive completely. And definitely if they think that they have a gay son or daughter or a lesbian, trans, bi, anything like that, just really say, you know, always have that showing, like, you know, no matter who you are, like, that's with my mom, that's what I always heard. No matter who you are, I'm gonna always love you. And even though they might not understand when they're younger, but it'll really resonate, especially when they're going through a lot of trouble, you know.
And what about your mom's choice not to say, I know you're gay, Julian? Do you think that was the right choice?
Yeah, I definitely think that was the right choice, because it's not up to anybody else to come out. You know, it's always up to the person when they feel comfortable. And I think that by letting me decide to come out to her, then that made me feel more comfortable and more happy. With my cousin, she just completely outed me, which kind of was negative, even though she said, oh, I know you're gay. And she was trying, I guess her intention was, oh, well, I'm just going to out him and he's going to be fine eventually. But that was actually a really hurtful experience.
What would you like service providers to learn from your experience?
I definitely would want them to know that, especially, it doesn't matter how old people are, because a lot of service providers in my life have always said, oh, you're young, you don't understand, you don't know, or, oh, you're just being a kid, or coming up with some excuse, not really listening to what I was saying and trying to explore how I was feeling. I definitely wish that they would take more time to get to know who they're working with and say, how are you feeling about this? What is troubling you? What is bothering you? And listening, actually actively listening and going out and trying to solve those problems to make the child feel more comfortable.
Why do you think they put you in the house with those two guys?
I'm not sure exactly. When I met with my worker, he was kind of said, oh, well, we just have room there. And so I kind of just think it was just a spur of the luck of the draw, because I think that was the only place that would accept me right away, kind of thing. So, but I think that it was amazing because they were actually people that were really caring and really that became really meaningful in my life. And seeing them that they were together and that they were gay, and even though they wouldn't say it, which I think they were, but you know, just having that role model, you know, and just saying, and they would always accept it because there was openly gay foster kids in the house and they were completely 100% accepting and caring and nurturing. And, you know, and I definitely think a lot of foster parents should be like that. And I don't understand how there's so many times where I hear about foster parents that are gay, that are openly gay, being called out, oh no, you shouldn't be taking care of foster kids because of, oh, your sexuality. But that doesn't have anything to do with it. You know, I think different people can relate to different kids, you know, and especially someone that's gay or a lesbian or a trans can definitely relate to a young kid that's trans, you know?
Absolutely. When you were living in that house, your roommate, you talked about, you know, it was okay to play, but it wasn't okay to be gay. What was that about for you, that it's all right to explore and play with your roommate, but I didn't want to be in a relationship with him?
It was kind of, I was feeling more like, you know, it's just something that I'm just doing. It's for fun. And this is not who I am. I kind of was trying to separate myself from, okay, this is just what I'm doing, but that's not who I am. I'm going to be married with children, and I'm going to have like a white picket fence, suburban house, and all of this kind of thing that I was thinking back then. Like, I was like, okay, that's just the side. I don't want people. This is what people want from me, and this is what I want. But that I'm just going to ignore that, and just whatever people see and whatever is going to be more comfortable and safe and normal, that's what I want. So I just didn't want that. At that time, I just thought I didn't want that. I didn't want that part of me. I kind of wanted to repress it because I was so deeply in the closet and in denial about myself.
And you attribute that to your own homophobia.
Yeah, it was definitely coming from within, because I didn't really have a lot of homophobic people around me, because my cousins have been out and a lesbian ever since I was born. So when I actually grew up and people were saying stuff like gay people, like when people are saying gay things to me, I would always say, that's not cool. My cousin's a lesbian. That's ridiculous. You shouldn't be saying that because that's hurtful. Even though I knew I was gay and I was homophobic to myself, to such a degree let it hurt me so much, but even I guess subconsciously it did bug me, but who I was just really aggressive against it. But even when I think about it, I'm like, okay, well, no, it isn't right, but I just want to make my cousin feel comfortable.
Right. And just to be clear for people listening, that's the same cousin who outed you to everybody.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
What you talked about accepting people, you talked about service providers, you know, not saying you're too young, you don't know. You know, I've met a variety in the training that we've done in Children's Aid with Connect to Youth. I've met a variety of service providers, as have you, who have a hard time with the language, have a hard time, don't know how to bring it up. But what would you say to a service provider who maybe doesn't have a lot of exposure to working with young people? And, you know, they have somebody that they're working with, they think might be gay, but they're not sure. How would you suggest that they support that young person?
I would, if they have no experience, actually, I'm going to explain a little bit about when we went to Sudbury for the youth training. Mm-hmm. It was very different in Sudbury. The complete attitude compared to Toronto to Sudbury was very different. People in Sudbury, they seem kind of more, they don't really know a lot about gay issues. That's all I'm really going to say. And just talking to them in any situation, even very simple situations, like just somebody that's thinking that they're gay, they kind of really shied away from everything about that completely. But I feel that service providers need to, if they suspect people that are gay, I think before they even start, they need to really think, okay, well, you know what? I'm going to deal with youth that could be gay, that could be this way, that could be that, that could be that. And to research about it and to learn about it, to explore the gay community, to go and have experiences and see how things function, you know, and really work. And if they suspect that one of their youth is gay and they don't know about it, then do research about it. Definitely go. Like, there's the internet now. So go and do research about it, how gay people are, and just, you know, talk to people within. There's a lot of gay organizations out there for youth. And they could say, talk to a youth worker that's actually within that thing and say, okay, well, I think one of my kids is gay, and how do I, like, what are the things that I should say? What are the things that I should do? How can I relate to this youth? You know, talk to an expert, really reach out. And because there's so much resources around you, especially at being in the position of a youth worker, there's endless resources with so many different organizations and things around. You can easily go and get it. You just really have to make the effort, because in the long run, it's really going to pay off with the youth. You know, it's going to make them feel so much better and happier with you.
Just as we start to wrap up, is there anything that you wish service providers had done differently when supporting you?
Yeah, I wish service providers were really when I was younger, they didn't really understand. They kind of didn't understand a lot of things that I did and a lot of things that I felt and the reasons why I was doing the things I was or I wasn't doing the things I should be doing, especially when it came to school and when it came to stuff that's like mainstream. Like, you're 16 years old, you have to go to school, you have to do this, you should get a job, you should think about your future. That was their goal completely. Get this kid to school, get him thinking about what he's going to do in the future kind of thing. Get him till he's 18 so he can go and do whatever he wants kind of thing. And so they can get a gold star at the end of the day. But like, I've always heard youth workers call me lazy, call me ignorant, call me just say, oh, do you care about your life? Do you want anything in your life? And stuff like that. But I was going through, like, what I would say is I was going through a very hard time with so many different emotions and so many different things within myself and within my home life and with friends and with being social and how I can express myself with other people at school and just so many different things. And like with any worker from Children's Aid, with some other organizations out there, I didn't hear, how are you doing? What is bugging you? What's stopping you? You know, what is really stopping you? Instead of, oh, you're lazy. What's stopping? What's bugging you? How can we solve? How can we help you? And what's most important thing that's really stopping you from doing these things, you know? Because that's the reason why I went to high school. Like, I went to like 6 or 7 different high schools before I actually stumbled upon ones that I really, really enjoyed. And also I feel that the arts are amazing for, especially with young people, getting people involved in the arts, whatever they like to do whether it's acting, singing, playing instruments, painting, woodshop, anything like that, anything to do with the arts. It's always such a tool to be used to really make people feel comfortable and happy and, you know, just getting people to express themselves and getting out emotion and feelings and everything like that. And I definitely wish youth workers would really understand youth, who they are, really kind of mold themselves to be very flexible. When a youth comes into your office, say, hey, you know, if they're gay, you know, completely have that in your mind, how you're going to support them, you know, not just saying how they need to adapt to how I am going to help you. You need to adapt to how the kid is so you can help them.
Beautifully said. I want to thank you so, so much, Julian, so much for
no problem.
Sharing your story today, for all the work you did with Connect to Youth, for being able to stay and fight and find one more high school in the hope that this high school would work for you and to be able to get your needs met. I've really enjoyed the time that we've worked together. And it sounds like your time in Alberta has been quite amazing as well.
Yeah, definitely. And thank you so much. I was really happy with CTY, and I just can't wait to see how big it's going to get. And I hope that you can do well continuing on in the future.
Nice. Thank you very much. Take care of yourself for now, Julian.
Bye.
Bye.
This concludes this month's episode of C2Y Podcast. Tune in next time for more discussions on child and youth care. Subscribe to us on iTunes or Stitcher and visit us at c2ypodcast.org.